أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة
السلام على من لا نبي بعده لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعة ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب للذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلوات الخمس والجمعة إلى الجمعة ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن ما اجتنبت الكبائر صدق الله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم ونحن لا ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين It is the great bounty of Allah تبارك وتعالى that Allah تبارك وتعالى has blessed us with this occasion of Jumu'ah. There are many people in the world who, despite today being a day of Jumu'ah, they are unable to witness this day of Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy has allowed us to witness this day of Jumu'ah with relative ease. Whilst they are not witnessing it with relative ease, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, La in shakartum la azidannakum, that if you are grateful to any favor that I am blessing you with, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises an increase for whatever bounty a person is enjoying. And if a person fails to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that bounty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes takes that bounty away. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the person to keep the bounty with. Like for example, if a person has a very fast car and he fails to understand that car to be a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he misuses that vehicle and he ends up sometimes in an accident. Now in that accident, what can happen to the car depending on the financial status of the person? The person may be able to repair the car, or sometimes that car may be completely written off. So this is how sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away a bounty from a person. But if a person shows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gratitude for whatever bounty he is enjoying, as the Arabs are fond of saying, that ash-shukru hafidhul mawjood wa jalibul mafqood. What is gratitude really? Gratitude draws near a favor that a person is not enjoying, and it protects a favor that a person is enjoying. Amongst the many favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is the great gift of Iman. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for this, because there are many people who haven't been blessed with this great gift of Iman. And the reality of this great gift of Iman, we will only understand when we pass away. So long as we are all on the surface of the earth, we all seem to be enjoying life. It all seems to be going very well. But when a person passes away, then really he will know that what is this Iman, what is the value of this Iman. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for various bounties that He has granted us. And amongst the many bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us as well, is the great bounty of the month of Ramadan. Now we all see that we are almost at the doorstep of the month of Ramadan. But we should ask ourselves, that how much preparation have we actually made for the month of Ramadan? If you notice in Makkah Mukarrama, in Medina Munawwara, just before the Hajj season, the Umrah season, and sometimes during before the month of Ramadan because of the influx of the tourists who will be going there for Umrah, etc. Then what happens is, you will notice that the shopkeepers will stock up the shops so that they have enough stock. When the clientele come in, they are able to purchase, and of course in turn the businessmen are able to make money. For them it is a game of profit. But if you look on the converse, what is the lesson? What is the lesson that Allah Ta'ala has kept for us in this? The lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us in this is that of preparation. That if ever you want to achieve anything, if ever you want to do anything well, then you ought to be prepared. So in the month of Ramadan, we also have to be in the state of readiness all the time. And when we will prepare, it is not only a matter of profit, but it is a matter of reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He promises huge rewards for the person who will fast in the month of Ramadan and will do good deeds. The fast of Ramadan only, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the person who fasts in the month, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the reward for it. According to another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself will give the reward. Now imagine if a king calls us to honor us in his castle and says, so and so, you are invited. And one is, you will meet the guards or the people who work for the king. They give you a gift at the door, or they say that the king has presented this gift to you. How honored don't we feel? But imagine if the king calls you up next to him and he seats you on his throne, next to his throne, and he says, here's a gift that I got for you. Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I will give the gift personally, according to different narrations. So this is the reward of fasting. And also, the person who will do good deeds in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the deed will be multiplied 70 times. Ask any businessman here, if there was something that would give you 70 times profit, then we'll all be doing that. But then in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the reward. But then who will get this reward? That person who prepares. They give an example of a person who is sitting outside of his house. He has lost all hopes of water. Water has been cut off. There is no water supply. And then he has a bucket. He wants to collect rainwater. But in this bucket of his, it is full of holes. Obviously, we well know that this person will collect nothing. But then on the other side, you see that there is a person who has a bucket. But this person's bucket is upside down. This person will get nothing as well. But if there's a person who is sitting outside and he has his bucket, not even a bucket, he has a small cup, and he's pointing it towards the gutter, that person, perhaps he may not receive so much, but he will definitely receive something from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it that we learn from here? It is that we should pray for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentions this in a hadith, the lesson of preparation. He mentions, wa'dud nafsaka fil mawta, that regard yourselves from among those people who are already dead. And Nabi Sassam mentions that this is a sign of intelligence in another hadith. Al-kayisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-mawt. Who is an intelligent person, the Sahaba asked. Nabi Sassam responded, it is that person who will prepare himself, wa amila, and he does good deeds, lima ba'da al-mawt. It is not merely sufficient to listen to virtues of all the time and not practice upon them. The kamal, the perfection is in when a person will practice on what he knows. Among the five will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عَلِمَ. How much of that which you knew did you practice upon? So it is not sufficient that a person says, I know about the virtues of Ramadan. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. The more important thing is that we should practice on whatever little bits that we know. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that keep before you the cutter, the severer of pleasures, and that is death. Why? Because if a person keeps before him death, then he knows that he has to prepare for the hereafter. So the lesson of being constantly prepared and being in a state of readiness all the time is something that our Sharia, the Deen of Islam, emphasizes greatly. And when a person will do this, what is the sign of this off? It is a sign of a person valuing every moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. And that person who values the moment of Ramadan, to illustrate the point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, or well, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum narrate an incident of a person, that there were two brothers who accepted Islam around the same time. And then among the two, you know, brothers, they're always vying, competing with one another. So one was a little bit more dedicated in terms of jihad. So then he passes away before the other. And then the other lives on for another year. And then one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he sees this person in a dream. And then he sees that the person who passed away later on, he is being ushered into Jannah before the one who passed away first. So this is something that is confusing to him. Because normally when a person dies, having done good deeds, as per the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran and Majid, this person ought to go to Jannah. So then he sees that this person is not being entered first, but rather this person who passed away later on is being entered into Jannah first. When he, the Sahabi, presumably Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sees he wants to enter also. But then they tell him, you step back, it is not time yet. So then he turns back, but then he's still worried. And then they begin discussing this amongst each other. Until they convey this, they relay this dream to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very importantly, that we should not have this temperament of being independent when it comes to our deen. We do not understand something very well, we should refer to the experts in deen. Nobody should suffice on the fact that I got the kitab in my house, I got the translation of the Quran, I got the Muslim in my house, the Muslim Sharif, I got the Bukhari, I'll read, I'll decipher it by myself. This is not the way of a believer. Anyway, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala referred the matter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And long story short, they present this, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to them, the khulasa of the whole thing, the summary of it is, that this person who passed away later on, he witnessed another Ramadan, and he performed more salah than that person. He made more sajdas than that person. So here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is emphasizing a point as if to say, that every moment that we have, we should value it, because we don't know whether we will see that moment again. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us about preparation once again. That don't wait for the last moment when the messages will go out that perhaps tonight is the first Taraweeh, and then only a person begins to say, hey, Ramadan is already here. But rather, what should a person do? Nabi Sassam is telling us in advance, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, oh Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban. Of course, the month of Rajab is past, we are now in the month of Sha'ban, regarding which Allama ibn Hajar rahimullah mentions that the person who fails the month of Sha'ban, fails to do the necessary preparations in the month of Rajab, then he should ask himself that now the month of Sha'ban is coming. How much preparation, or what am I going to do to prepare for the month of Sha'ban? But back to the dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us this dua. وَبَارِكْ اللَّهُمَّ بَارِكْ لَنَا فِي رَجَبْ وَشَعْبَانِ وَبَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَانِ. Oh Allah, allow us, bless us in the month of Rajab, and bless us in the month of Sha'ban, and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. وَبَلِّغْنَا. Oh Allah, we cannot reach the month of Ramadan of our own. Not very long ago, not only not very long ago, but most of us definitely have witnessed in the past week, in the past month, in the past year, that is definitely somebody we know that has passed on, that was with us last year Ramadan. The man was sharing iftar with us, but this year is no more. So we don't know whether we will see the month of Ramadan. So we should value whatever moments we have. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam carries on further, teaching us another dua. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa tasallam. Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan, wa sallimni li Ramadan. Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan li, wa sallimhu li mutaqabbala. In other riwayats, وَتَسَلَّمْهُ مُتَقَبَّلًا, approximate words. But anyways, O Allah, preserve the month of Ramadan and accept it from me. Whatever we do, a person may be able to witness the month of Ramadan in the best of spirits. He is doing whatever good deeds that he had, then he fails to do it accordingly to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he fails. He doesn't get any reward for it. It is not accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights this fact that the person who fails to stay away from sin, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, that person who fails to leave out sin, the nutshell of the hadith, is the person who fails to leave out sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not concerned of his fasting. He does not need that person's fasting if a person fails to stay away from sin. And in another hadith, Rasulullah SAW, to reiterate, Nabi SAW says there are many people who wake up in the morning. The man is tiring himself, so to say. He's wasting his time. Why? Because he's sinning. And another person, he wakes up to perform the Taraweeh Salah or the Tahajjud Salah. But this person, because he's involved in sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of this person's ibadat as well. So as if the month of Sha'aban is sandwiched between Rajab and Ramadan. Of course, Rajab is one of the sacred months of the year. Iddatu Shuhur, the blessed month of the year. And Rajab, everybody knows the virtue of. So we find it that in the month of Sha'aban, nobody is really at that level of preparation. So the ulama highlight this point, and they say that the month of Sha'aban, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast abundantly in the month of Sha'aban. And upon being asked what is the reason behind this, he said that in this month people are very ghafil. They are unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am fasting so that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is collecting my book of deeds in this month, on the 15th of Sha'aban, that I may be in a state of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try and fast in the month of Sha'aban, obviously until the 15th, so that we do not tire ourselves. And then the ulama, of course, they explain that why is this so important that a person makes sure he does the necessary preparation. Allah SWT has given us many checkpoints. And amongst the many checkpoints is that in the month of Rajab, we witness that we see the occasion of Mi'raj. And in the incident of Mi'raj, about 10 people are mentioned, or rather 10 groups of people are mentioned, upon whom different types of punishments are being meted. We should mirror ourselves against those people and ask ourselves, am I engaged in any of these sins? And then the month of Sha'aban comes in, and another plus 8 groups are also mentioned. Again, we should ask ourselves, am I guilty of any of the sins that are mentioned in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And importantly, whenever a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people are completely ghafil, then this is something that is really appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So appreciated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when others are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that of a person who is alive. This person is alive. That this person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he is alive. And the person who is not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if that this person is dead. To illustrate the point of Buzruf, he goes to visit his mentor. So this particular mentor of his, it wasn't obviously a day of conveyances like how we have today, transport, that a person in a few hours will be in Joburg, and in a few hours he'll be in the next country. So it was a long, arduous journey. So he gets tired along the way, he decides to rest under a tree. Whilst resting under a tree, obviously now this is something that is related to tasawuf, some may not necessarily have munasabat with it, meaning some congeniality with it, but to illustrate the point. So he was sitting there under the tree, he falls asleep, and then he sees a dream. And in his dream, of course we know things that happen in a dream, they are interpreted differently. So he sees this dream, that there are two birds, and these birds are talking, that this man is going to visit his sheikh. But his sheikh is already dead. So this person wakes up in a shock, my sheikh is dead? Imagine you take a safari, you make a journey, you're going to meet your mentor, only to find out that that man has passed on. How would you feel? But then anyway, he wakes up, and then he's shocked. He's catching his tears, holding back his tears, he's journeying, so he speeds up the conveyance. When he makes it there, he notices the sheikh, that the sheikh is still alive. So he starts smiling, and then he says to the sheikh, Ek ajeeb zamana ho gayi. Hum ek ajeeb zamana hum rehte hain. We are living in an ajeeb zamana. So the Sheikh asked him, what do you say? Why do you say that we're living in a strange zamana, in a strange time? So he says, the ajib thing is that I saw this dream and the birds said that you are dead. So the birds are even lying nowadays. He said, exactly what time was it? So then this person explains to him, the Sheikh explains to him, that for our understanding to contextualize, perhaps it was 11:30. So he says, at that time I wasn't engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the value of the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, to highlight the point. And then there's another virtue in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a person will enter the shopping center and he will recite, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa hayyun la yamut, biyadil khayr, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadeer. What will happen? Allah ta'ala will give him millions in rewards. As if to say that this person is getting millions in rewards. Why? Because he's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a place where nobody is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very important. And then we see also that the Laylatul Bara'a is another checkpoint, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending us this subtle message. How far are you with your preparations? And then the 50s, of course, we all open the fridges and we all, of course, get the bank statements when they tell us you need to buy all the extra fur, all the extra mints, etc., to make preparations for the month of Ramadan. So we know that Ramadan is around the corner. And then he says that our deeds are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Monday and Thursday. Why is this so important to preparation? As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time is telling us, be ready at any moment. Monday and Thursday, Imam Ibrahim, Allama Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahimahullah, he and his wife used to cry on this particular Monday and Thursday. Upon being asked, why do you cry so much on a Monday and Thursday? Then he mentioned something that we should really ask ourselves in terms of our amal. That if I were to pass away now, what is my standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he says, Al-yawma tu'aradu a'maluna ala Allah. This Monday and Thursday, our deeds are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Why do these deeds need to be presented before Allah ta'ala? For consideration, we hear of a royal pardon or presidential pardon, that these people have been asked to come out of prison, they've been released from prison because of a presidential pardon. So to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers a Rabbani pardon for these people on this Monday and Thursday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sometimes the person without tawbah, but then the people who are not forgiven is that person who harbors ill feelings towards his fellow Muslim brother. So this is something that is very important, the presentation of our deeds every week. And then over and above that, once a year our deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is on the 15th night of Sha'aban. And our Akabir, they were very particular about preparation. Our Salaf al-Salihin, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that when the crescent of Sha'aban was sighted, then Akabun Nas al-Masahif, then the Muslims of that era, then they used to jump, so to say. They used to recite more Quran in that month. Why? In preparation of the month of Sha'aban. If you look at it in retro, who needs the preparation? Was it the Sahaba, the pious, the Salaf al-Salihin, or we needed them the most? But they regarded it so important to prepare. And it's not going to happen overnight. We often think that when the month of Sha'aban, when the month of Ramadan starts, we will automatically begin doing good deeds. This is not the case. We well know that sometimes it is very difficult to get in the habit of good deeds. So we should prepare in advance. There is no quick fix pill. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, also reiterating the point of preparing every week, he says, as far as Juma is concerned, in as far as our weekly preparations are concerned, he says, Inna ufan nasi nasiban min al Juma, man intadaraha wa ra'aha min al Ams. Who will benefit the most from the day of Juma? It is that person who is forever in the state of readiness for the day of Juma. Not that he wakes up on the morning of Juma and says, today is Friday. You sure today is Friday? I didn't even know the man is not even prepared. So similarly, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, that person who the month of Ramadan, the crescent of Shawwal is sighted and is not even ready to fast, he says, I don't think I'll make the first day. I'll start from the following day. He's not prepared for the month of Ramadan. And then Sha'aban is like a practice ground for Ramadan very quickly. Allama ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he mentions that, لَمَّا كَانَ شَعَبَانْ كَالْمُقَدِّمَةِ لِرَمَضَانِ شُرِيَ فِيهِ مَا يُشْرَعُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Since the month of Sha'aban is like a practice ground for the month of Ramadan, so those good deeds that are prescribed in the month of Ramadan are also encouraged that the person starts doing them in the month of Sha'aban. And then he says that There are three groups of people in the month of Ramadan begins. One is those people who are prepared for in advance. So the month of Ramadan begins and the man knows this is the month of Ramadan. So he begins doing good deeds. This is the awliya Allah. The special friends of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala include all of us from them. And then the second is those who are conscious at least. They have this degree of consciousness in their hearts that it's the month of Ramadan, put the TV away, subscriptions, etc. Why? Because they understand that this is a time to draw from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. But alas, this group as well, when the month of Shawwal is cited, then the man puts down the handbrakes. It was only a month we can get back to whatever we're doing. Allah Ta'ala, remove us from this group. And then the third is that he says that those who are completely carefree, they worry not. The month of Ramadan comes, the month of Ramadan goes, the man has no concern. He carries on as if it was a normal day. So once again, let us not be excluded from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions those people, those three groups of people who are deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ba'da man adraka Ramadan, falam yughfar lah. May that person be distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does what? Who fails to secure the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. Why? He wasn't prepared adequately. He failed to prepare for the month of Ramadan. And then of course, just to sum it all up, if a person feels that all of this doesn't have an effect on him, then really he should check his heart. And the way of softening a hard heart is that the person should perform tahajjud, he should recite abundant Quran and Majid, he should make earnest dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should keep an empty stomach, and he should keep the company of the pious. Of course, this is very easy in the month of Ramadan. And the seven steps of preparation for the benefits of those who came a little bit later, and this is something unfortunately the ulama have asked us to stress on very much. They say that another bad thing, another bad quality, character that has crept in the ummah, that most of us come late for the Jummah Salah. Most of us come late for the Jummah Salah. And if you notice in the past that people used to come early for the day of Jummah. And then he says now the seven steps of preparation. He says number one is the good habits of preparation. We should be in the habits of preparation all the time. And number two, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, to reach the month of Ramadan and to benefit therefrom. And it is a gradual process. It is a gradual process to increase gradually. And number four, to approach the month of Ramadan from three dimensions. We didn't mention them, but very quickly, that the person prepares physically, he prepares spiritually, and he prepares mentally. Of course, we understand that. And then he says to avoid the curse and do not despair of the mercy of Allah. What? I have such a hard heart. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst all of this is being said, if a person doesn't have a plan, how is he going to achieve all his goals? So a person has to have a plan that I'm going to do this, etc. He draws a schedule for himself. And last but not least, to intend permanent change. We may never see another Ramadan again. There's absolutely no guarantee that we'll see another Ramadan again. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. There will be a nikah that is taking place. All the nikah parties come forward, inshallah. The sunnah will be read there.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Muhammad Zafar Hassan, the bride's representative, Suleiman Jazbar, witnesses to the representation, Suleiman Hassan, and second is Ibrahim Muhammad Iqbal Joseph, Ismail Joseph. Brother Suleiman Jazbai, we have permission to continue the nikah, inshallah. The meher has been settled between the two parties. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. محمد زفر حسن وحاجي سليمان جازباي gives nasiha jazba in your nikah. The witnesses to the representation is Haji Suleiman Hassam and Haji Ibrahim Muhammad Ismail Yusuf. The meher has been discussed between the two families. Have you accepted nasiha in your nikah? Say, yes, I've accepted her. Say, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk wa jama baynakuma fi khair. We'll do the same after Jummah, inshallah. Brothers can do the sunnahs.